Okay, Rabbosai. So we're going to start the sugya again from the top, and we skipped part of it. We ran through another part of it. So let's try to do it a little bit more at a slow pace. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Niktam rosho me erev yontif, vi also bo tamra biyontif, mal. So the status of this hadas on Erev Yontif was that it's possible. It seems from Rashi, Dira Maskel vi also bo, the impression I get, is that there already was an eged here. So the eged was done on Erev Yontif. That itself is interesting. Is it possible that the eged could have been done on Yontif? We'll see as the sugya develops in Mitzvah Shem that that might be totally in whether or not Lulav Tzarech Eged or Ein Tzarech. Okay, fine. In any event, the Eged, Rashi seems to assume, was done on Erev Yontif. And it would seem that we have a situation here in which the Hadas is possible. Now, assuming that it's hard to exactly figure out the sequence of events here. There are many variables here, but let me throw out one possibility. Again, this is not to exclude other possibilities. The Hadas at the moment of Eged was possible. It was already Niktam Rosh. And the reason why I throw out that possibility, which right now I'm putting on the table, is because of the end of the next Rashi. If we can fast forward for just a moment, Rashi at the end of Yesh Dichui Etzel Mitzvah says, "Vahashta lo diek ben dichui meikara linira v'nidche." The high din niktam me erev yontif lo nira me olam. In other words, Rashi identifies the case of niktam rosho me erev yontif as nidche meikara. And that means that if I put that together, I'm adding A plus B, put this together with the Rashi of Mishanegad, again, leaving out, again, there are nuances here of meanings here that we have to think about in terms of the grammatical structure, past, present, and future, what does Mishanegad mean? But just if we could focus on the Agad, or the Eged, whichever way you want to pronounce it, that Eged took place, and it was Dichui Meikara. Why was it Dichui Meikara? Because the Hadas is possible. The Hadas is possible, and for our purposes, it was possible from the beginning. Now, wait a second. You'll ask me, come on. Don't make a galechta here. You're joking me. You say it was possible from the beginning. Nikta means its head was cut off. At one point in life, it must have been kosher. But what's the answer? Why do I say that this is called, in Rashi's frame of reference, Nikta Meikara? It's called Dichui Meikara.
From before Yontif, from before them.
Because the key here is Agat. What was the status of this Hadas at the moment of Eged? And I'm going to try to see if this premise that I'm operating with in Rashi will be borne out as we go through the sugya. So if somebody can make either a mental note or write it down on a piece of paper, and we'll come back to it, that according to Rashi, the critical moment in which we talk about the Dalad Minim and we ask ourselves whether they are Ksherim or Psulim is the moment of Eged. Would that depend upon whether Lulav Tzarech Eged or not Tzarech Eged? I don't think so. But again, let's leave that as an open-ended question. So for example, if I have Hadas on my table today, what is it, Gimel Av today? And the situation of the Hadas is that it's a perfect Hadas, correct? And now I break off its head. Or even, let's say it even sharper, at the moment of Eged, I break off its head. What would you say? Is that Dichui Meikara? Does the fact that yesterday on the 3rd of Av, let's say now it's the 4th of Av, but yesterday on the 3rd of Av, it was perfect, it was healthy, it had a head on its shoulders, does that make it into kosher and then nidche when I break off the head afterwards? No. Because the day of Gimel Av is totally irrelevant. When does it become relevant? I don't know. You could talk about many different possible dates. You could talk about 30 days Karim L'chag. You could talk about Erev Yontif. You could talk about Bein HaShemashes. You know, we could discuss Bein HaShemashes. You could talk about the following morning. I don't know yet where to pinpoint the exact Shah in which the lulav emerges as a lulav. It's no longer just a palm branch. It's a lulav. But if I want to talk about Dichli Meikara, what I want to say is that it was possible at the time it became a lulav. Not the physical entity of a lulav, Bibriyaso, but rather the halachic entity as a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. And when does it become a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah? Let's say on Yontif, even if I grant you on Yontif, but what I need is also the moment of Eged. Would the moment of Eged be sufficient even before Yontif? Maybe. According to the Shita that Lulav Tzarech Eged, maybe that's enough. You know, maybe even on Gimel Av I can do an Eged on a Lulav and that itself would make it into a Lulav. I don't know. Again, all possibilities are open here. But Rashi, in any event, identifies Rabbi Yirmiyah's case of Niktam Rosh Hashanah Erev Yontif as a case of Dichli Meikar. At what point do we establish that it's Dichli Meikara? Is it at the moment of Eged? Or is it at the moment of, shall we say, Knisas HaChag, when the sun sets on the 14th of Tishrei? I don't know. But what I do know is Rashi identifies this as what? As Dichli Meikara. Now, I'm going to ask you a trick question here. And let's say it's Dichli Meikara. So what? In Yiddish we say the fire is vas, right? All right, it's dichli meikara. So do me something, yeah.
So is it the kabbalism, or is that important?
Yeah, it's dichli etzumetzah, and dichli etzumetzah.
You don't know if it's really bothering Rabbi Yirmiyah.
No, just the opposite. Again, the issue of yesh dichli etzal mitzvah or ein dichli etzal mitzvah has nothing to do with dichli meikara. Meaning, dichli meikara l'chud, and yesh dichli ein dichli l'chud. Rashi is bothered by the following question. Since Rabbi Yirmiyah formulated his scenario in a situation of dichli meikara, it's not relevant to the halach of yesh dichli ein dichli. The case of Dichli Meikara is simple. There's no contention about it. There's no debate about it. We don't know that yet, says Rashi. Hashta lo dayik. Rashi says that right now the Gemara was not yored, it didn't go down to the depths to differentiate between Dichli Meikara and Chazi or Roy v'nidche v'chazi. But he says, Rashi, the truth of the matter is, and we'll find this out later, is that Dichli Meikara is in a separate category. And it's not to be confused with the Sugya of Yesh Dichli or Ein Dichli. Now, if you're with me on that, then I have to ask you the next question. So what is the din of Dichli Meikara? If it's irrelevant to the Machlokas, so is it good or is it bad? You know the phrase, is it good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? What's the story of a Hadas that was possible from the get-go? Just the opposite. It's kosher l'kuli alma. Even if I hold yesh dichui, that's why I told you it's a trick question, even if I hold yesh dichui would not apply unless there was a dichui. Yesh dichui means there was a dichui.
It had to be a month to start with.
Exactly, it had to be roi, and then there's a dichui. Dichui itself, according to the Man Yomar, yesh dichui is, so to speak, an action.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive. It's an action that changes the status. And it changes the status of the Cheftz Shel Mitzvah in an irreversible way. But if this was Pasul Meikara, it was never kosher, then that dichui meikara is not relevant because that's not an active dichui. An active dichui could only apply when you have something that's royal in mitzvasa. You have a cheftza shel mitzvah, it's kosher, and now it becomes posel. When it becomes posel, then I activate the principle of yesh dichui according to that man d'yomar. And we equate mitzvahs with karbonos, and it's irreversibly excluded and disqualified. But if it was never kosher to begin with, then it never had the status of a cheftza shel mitzvah. And therefore there's no dichui. Dichui only means to take the status of a chepshel mitzvah and undermine that status. So Rashi is saying hashtel odayik, that if we really want to be careful about it, Rabbi Yirmiyahu would have no doubt that the case that he's dealing with in his scenario of niktam rosham erev yantiv, the also botamra, would certainly be kosher, even if I hold yesh dichui. Alright. So that's an introduction to the sugya. Now let's see, what does Rashi say about yesh dichui etzel mitzvos? Klomar, no heges toras dichui etzel mitzvos, kishem shen oheges etzel karbonos. And again, what does yesh dichui mean? Please underline the next two words. Di'im nireh. What does it mean, di'im nireh?
It was kosher.
When it was a chef to shal mitzvah, it was kosher. Then the nidches, now I have what's called a dichui, is then we apply that to karbon, to mitzvahs as well. Now Rashi adds another word. As if life wasn't complicated enough as it is. Rashi says, mishen nishchita. Why does Rashi add that the shechita has already taken place? What would happen if there was no shechita? There would be no dichui. Why? Dichui is only feasible after shechita, not before shechita. Dichui before shechita would be like dichui on Gimel Av in the case of Hadas. The chefta shel kodshim lemizbeach is only relevant after shechita. Shechita is the first of the four avodos. Then we receive the dam, and then we molech the dam, and then we zorik the dam. All the avodos begin with zrika. From zrika on, I'm sorry, shechita. And from shechita on is halach of what? Of dichui. So what happened? It was nireh after shechita. In other words, everything was perfect. And the shechita was done. We're about to be zorik to dam, and then it was nidche. Let's say we took it outside the azara. It was yotze, and then we brought it back in again.
It's the wrong way around.
Rashi's saying imirav and nidches mishenishkut. It's both mishenishkut. Since the shechita was nirav and nidches, so there was a point in which it was nirav. That was the moment of shechita and onwards, and then there was another point later on where it was nidches. Is amrit. In the laws of Karbanos, we say yidache, that dichui on the original status of nireh is final. It's irreversible. Sulo hader v'chazi. It cannot be taken back into its state of chazi, of being nireh. Is hachinami, let's extend this to the case of mitzvahs. Hoel v'nidche kishen niktam. If at the moment of ktima it was nidche, yisulo hadar michsei dalias hatamra. Yeah, but wait a minute, Rashi. You just finished telling me that it's got to be nireh and then nidches. This came of niktam. It was on erev yontiv. It was never nireh to begin with. Says Rashi, the hashdalo diek ben dichui meikara linireh v'nidche. The high the niktam erev yontif lo nira mi olam, and that case is surely kosher because there is no dichui unless it's nira. Fine. Something about tiv shot le mehadisnan. I have an analogy from a mishnah in Masechta Chulin, the subject of which is what kisui hadam. Kisui hadam applies to a chaya or an oaf, not to a behemah. Whereas the chaylev of Bein is also, and there's no chaylev in chayev yov, but everything is punfaket with regard to the relation between chaylev and kisu. Fine. So we have a mitzvah of kisu. Good. We have a mitzvah of kisu. All right. How many people in this room just out of curiosity ever did kisi adam? I'm going to guess when you did it. Let's see if I'm right. Erev Yom Kippur. Am I right? Yeah. Now there's a new minute. You not only do kafaras, but you do kisei adam and you make a bracha. Good. So what is the mitzvah of kisei adam? Is it similar to netilas lulav, or there's something totally different about kisei adam? And it shouldn't be compared to lulav. And now I know you're going to ask me a question, what do you mean not compared to lulav? The Gemara compares it to lulav, so I have a problem. But just conceptually, how would you compare kisi adam to netilas lulav? Let me be more specific. Is dam the same as lulav? I mean, in analogy?
No.
What's the difference between dam and lulav?
Lulav you have to do. It's a mitzvah you have to do. That's a reshus.
Oh, well, it's not a reshus once you do the shchita. No, I meant to say something different. I want you to just focus your attention on two items, two objects. One is the dam in the case of kisui, and the other is the lulav in the case of lukatim lukhem. Is there an absolute parallel between the two?
No.
Why not?
Kepes gavra, right?
Excellent. In the case of the Tilus Lulav, what do we have? Gavra. You have a Maisa Gavra. You have to take this Lulav. The Lulav is not the object. It's not the victim, shall I say. You know, if you in target practice, you know, that you're not trying to hit the Lulav. You are using the Lulav as your tool to fulfill the mitzvah of Lekicha. The Torah says you need Lekichas Lulav. You know, tefillin, I don't know. In tefillin and tzitzis, you might say two things. One is the mitzvah of hanochas tefillin, and the other is the mitzvah that my goof has to have tefillin on it. So there are those who want to suggest that's why we make two brachas. The bracha on the shel yad is on the hanocha, the ma'is hanocha, and that's chalim for the shel rosh. And then there's another bracha on having tefillin on my body, and that bracha is uniquely related to what? To the shel rosh. In tzitzis also, but then tzitzis we don't have two brachas. But one could say that there's a maisa levishas at tzitzis, and then the gavra has to be lavish but tzitzis. But in the case of dam, I'm not using the dam to fulfill a mitzvah. The dam is the object on which I do what? Kisui. So the kisui is like the netila that I can grant you. In both cases, I have to implement an action. In the case of lulav, netila. In the case of dam, kisui. But there's a fundamental difference between the lulav and the dam. Whereas the lulav is used as a tool to implement the lekicha, the dam is just the victim on which I have to do kisui.
It's the object.
It's the object. And if the dam is already covered, then what would you say? Would you say that I'm chayav in the mitzvah of kisui? The mitzvah of kisui applies when there's dam that needs kisui. If the dam is already covered, that's why if you look at this mission, it's very strange. It says, kiso v'nisgalot potem ilchai, kiso aruach. This is one of kiso aruach, chayav lechasos. What does that mean? Does that mean he has to take off the offer and cover it up again? So that's what Rabbi Yochanan is going to come and say. Rabbi Yochanan is boggled by this statement in the Mishnah. If there's no dam, then I'm not chayav in kisui. If the dam would fly into the air, I'm not chayav to run up, you know, fly up to Shamayim, take an express plane to get the dam down. And if the dam is already covered, I don't have to expose the dam in order to mechasa the dam. Exposed dam generates a chiv of kisui. So what does it mean? Kiso arua chayav lechasas. There is no dam.
But it's not a
mitzvah
gavra. Why is it not
given
in the case where there's a I did the kisadam this gala, or the ruach did it.
Excellent. So the answer is the following: that there are two different halachas here. One is halach of yatzi yedei chovaso, and the other is halach of the mechayev. Once the mechayev can only be meaningful if the chiv could fall on someone. It begins with the dam, but it falls on the head of the person who did the shechita. He's obligated to do the kisu. If he's potur, if he already implemented, executed his chiyuv, and he obtained the kiyuv mitzvah, then the dam cannot be mechayev. So basically the Mishnah says the following. If he was mechasa once, true, the dam needs kisu now because it was this gala, the ruach blew it away, but there's no one to be on whom we can pin the chiyuv. The chiyuv can't be chal if he was already yotzei his chiyuv. You may ask if somebody else has the chiyuv, but let's say the chiyuv is only on the shochet. So the shochet implemented the shechita, he implemented the kisui adam, now it was exposed. So we should say that the dam is mechayev. Yeah, but mechayev whom? There's no one upon whom, on whose shoulders the chiyuv can be chal. But in a case where the Gavra never fulfilled his chiyuv, so if there's no dam, then there's no machayev. So kisoa ruach, there's no machayev to talk about. Now there was nisgala, chazim and nisgala, now the Gavra becomes chayev. He was never yotzi his chiyuv. But the Gemara sees in this a gevaldige chiddush. Says the Gemara, lo chazim and nisgala pot. Havinen bo ki chazar v'nizgale amai chayev l'chasos. The ruach coveted. Now the wind uncoveted. So now you have dam. Why you chayev in kisu? Ho il vi idchei idchei. In other words, yesh dichu yetzel mitzvah applies not just to a psul in a chefza shel mitzvah. It even applies to a mitzvah that was removed. Once the mitzvah was removed, and again, we're not talking about the Chefzal mitzvah used as a tool to engender a Maisa mitzvah, we're talking about the Chefzal mitzvah, which is the Machayev itself. If that Chefzal mitzvah at one point is completely excluded from engendering a Chiyuv, it can never engender a Chiyuv if I hold Yeshdi Chiyasal mitzvahs. Pillock, it's a pell of a Gemara. The Gemara is making a major jump here. There's a tremendous gap between case A and case B. In the case of a lulav that was possible, in our case of a hadas that was possible, so one could say that whole v'nidches, once there was a dichui, it was near a v'nidches, so that's an irreversible process and the cheft is possible. But here, you want to know whether there's dam to be machayev you. The answer is, I have a tenai, that it's got to be begilui. So if the ruach covers it, there's no dam begilui. If there's no dam begilui, I'm not chayev. That's not dichui. That's just the absence of a machayev. That's what we could have said. And let me ask you another question. This question I want to share with you comes from the Aruch Laner. I kick myself that I didn't ask the question. The Aruch HaNer wants to know the following. What happens is a mitzvah of milah on the eighth day, and the child is ill, right? Hepatitis, whatever the case may be. So you can't do the milah in its time. So when do you do the milah? The next day. Why not say, hol v'nidches nidches? If yesh tiche, it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah was nidches yesterday, and therefore it's nidches today. You know, when the chiyuv emerged, it was already dachui, because I can't mal the child.
No, milah is, you have to do milah, it's better on the eighth day, but milah is till the day you die.
No, but again, it does, even kisei adam is till the day you die, but once it gets into the status of nidches, if you hold yesh tichui at a mitzvah, that's an irreversible dichui. Why is it different than the kisei adam?
It's the curse in that
you're not. Yeah, I understand, but again, our sympathies are on the same. We both want to say that you have to do the milah. I'm not denying that. But the question is how to reconcile that with the principle of dichui, meaning if there was dichui, the child was not royal of milah at one point, then you're going to tell me, well, there's a nuchi of the next day. I agree with you, but why not say the same thing about kisei adam? Your kisei adam is not pinned to one moment in time. As long as the dam exists, if you have, a healthy dam that'll last, I don't know, for a month or a year, so you'll do the kisei at the end of the year. It's an ongoing mitzvah. And by the way, the Aruch HaNer is so bothered by this question that he has a whole conceptual structure. He wants to say that the child is really royal of milah. He's a cholah. So the chiyuv milah exists, but I cannot implement the chiyuv milah. Do you hear this? A whole mind-boggling structure, the brilliance of the Aruch HaNer.
The child's not puzzled in any sense. He's not.
Good. That's the Aruch HaNer. You machayev chamin to the Aruch HaNer. The Aruch HaNer says there's no psul. But in the case of covering the dam with ruah, the ruah covers the dam, there's a chalashem psul. I find that very difficult to understand.
There's not psul by dam also. The question stands.
So again, if you're not willing to say there's a psul, then the question is how dichui works. Because again, to go to the other extreme and say dichui means whenever the mitzvah cannot be fulfilled, then even if the reason why the barrier preventing me from fulfilling the mitzvah is removed, the mitzvah no longer comes back into existence to pester me, that's going to be a very difficult... I'm giving you one case of milah, you could probably come up with many
cases. A case of someone who's born gemalat, so we're ready with a milah.
Yeah.
So that's a real, that's a difference. There's nothing to be done now.
that might be dichi meikara.
In the case of the dam, I mean, the person is supposed to cover the dam, but the wind covers it, so it's done. Now the wind uncovers it again, but it was once covered.
So what happens if once it's once covered? Are we saying that the mitzvah is gone? And then we have to come on to the Aruch Lener and say, like you said, David, that in the case of Mila, the mitzvah is not gone, it's just in temporary suspension. You know, there's a blockage, a barrier because he's a chol.
We have to say that. The Torah intended for the dam to be covered once. If it's uncovered again, that's not bad. It's okay, it's fine. In other words, it was covered once, that's what the Torah wants.
No, but again, keep in mind, so we're not saying that's the Torah. No, we're applying the principle of Dichu. The reason why the Gemara thinks that logically when it's uncovered you don't have to do the kisui is only because of this new principle derived from Karbanos of Yesh Dichu B'mitzvahs. So I'm just wondering, are you willing to apply Dichu B'mitzvahs whenever the situation is that the mitzvah cannot be fulfilled because of some reality that's preventing you from implementing the mitzvah, and when that reality changes and now the mitzvah is perfectly appropriate, you're going to say, well, nidches, it was rejected? Again, if you're talking about psul, I understand. But to say that because the ruach covered with the offer, covered the dam, it's possible, the whole concept of psul here is totally out of whack. We're not talking about a psul. We're not using the offer. The offer maybe would be, you know, if we talk about a psul in the offer, maybe that would be logical. But the dam is not the chefetz shel mitzvah. I'm not using the dam for a mitzvah.
Can I ask maybe a technical question? The second part is right. So if the wind came and covered it, so you don't have to cover it again, right? So, right? You can't make a bracha. Am I correct?
Like, what's the case? The case is that the wind now uncovered it, or what? What's
the wind covered it to begin with.
Right, and now it uncovered it?
What do you mean when it says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo shana el shechazer ben isgala.
That's the wind uncovered.
Okay, aval lo chazer ben isgala. So the wind did not uncover it. You cannot go ahead, let's say there's dirt already in the blood. You can't just go ahead and make a bracha and cover it again. When it says putter, it's not chayav, but it maybe you could say it's reshus. You say it's not. You can't make a bracha. You can't do it.
Right. If it's putter, you can't make a bracha.
So there's another question. Like, if someone came and covered it for you, right? You can sue him for stealing your mitzvah.
That's right. Absolutely.
You can't just go ahead and cover it.
Okay, asara zuhuf and kesef. That's a heavy, hefty sum. Yeah.
You can't just cover it. I mean, you can't just cover it a second time and make a bracha.
Ah, well, wait. You're asking a different question. I mean, I'm just talking at your question. Could you uncover it and then cover it again? That's what you're asking. I mean, Bishlam, in the case that the ruach uncovered it, so since the ruach covered it, now uncovered it, now we could talk about a possible chiyuv, and that would be totally in the Gemara's language and dichu or not dichu. But what happens if a human being uncovers it? Can I say, you know, Reuven covered my dam? I want to get that mitzvah back. I'm going to uncovered. That's a good child. I don't know the answer.
The word putter really means it's not just not chayev.
Yeah, because it's covered. If it's as long as it's covered, I mean, because you when you read the Mishnah, you get, you know, that's why I was playing a pedagogic game before. When you read the Mishnah says kisoh ruach chayev lachasos. It sounds very strange. It sounds like that you have to artificially create the dam by removing the kisui. That can't be, says Rabbi Yochanan. If it's covered, there's no dam and there's no machayev and there's nothing to talk about. But what happened in this case is, and you chayev to machasid because you never were machasid and the ruach uncovered it. Now you're asking a different question, but I think it's an excellent question. What happens if a human being, you know, interfered here and he exposed the dam? I'm not sure. I don't know what the din would be. You have to really think about that. Amar Rav Papa is also Meres Ein Dichu Yetzel Mitzvahs. So Rav Papa actually learned this Mishnah and understood that the Mishnah is conveying me a new principle that we have to derive thereof, that Ein Dichu Yetzel Mitzvahs. And therefore, even though at one moment in time the dam was not roi lemitzvah, now it became roi lemitzvah, and the previous Dichia, when it was covered, is irrelevant, and the mitzvah comes back to obligate me in kisui. So the Gemara says the following: there are papa gufe. It's true. There are papa himself, based on his understanding of this Mishnah in kisui, came to a definite conclusion. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept that conclusion, and therefore Rabbi Yirmiyah should be held liable for some sort of ignorance here, that Rabbi Yirmiyah missed the boat on this Mishnah of Kisu. He says, Mibayle, and Rashi adds two words, Mibayle l'Rabbi Yirmiyah. So even though Rav Papa himself had this diuk and he came to a definite conclusion, but nevertheless, Rav Yirmiyah was not sure that that conclusion is justified. At least it's not a definite conclusion. Mishat, right. So Mibayle. And now the Gemara is going to analyze with, in the perspective of Rav Yirmiyah, what inhibits Rav Yirmiyah from drawing the same conclusion as Rav Papa from the Mishnah in Kisa. And now the Gemara is going to analyze that. Mifshit Pashitle, did the author of the Mishnah have a simple and a certain conclusion, the Ein Dichui Etzel Mitzvahs, which would be Rav Papa's understanding of the Mishnah, and therefore Loshna Lekula Veloshna Lechumra. In the case of Kisui, based on Ein Dichui Etzel Mitzvahs, we're going to ask you and require of you to get up and be Machas of the Dam. In the case of the Hadas, that was Niktav Rosho and also Botamra, we're going to tell you, don't you dare take this Hadas. That's called Lechumra. Oh, Dilma, maybe that's not necessarily what's being reflected here in this Mishnah. Maybe Sfuke Mesafkilet. The Tana of the Braisa, of this Mishnah, excuse me, never really came to any definite conclusion about Diesh Dichri or Ein Dichri. And therefore, what do you do when you don't come to any conclusion? L'chumra Amrina, L'kula Lo Amrina. The Tana of the Braisa would not be willing to recommend that you use this Hadas because also about Tamra. He's going to have to consider the possibility, at least, of Yesh Dichri Eitzel Mitzvahs. In the case of Kisi Adam, even in the worst case scenario, if I would assume Yesh Dichri, nothing is lost there if he goes ahead and he's Machas of the Dam. It's pure gain. So I learned this Gemara and I was a little bit upset. I was uncomfortable about this Gemara. The Gemara actually comes to no conclusion at this point. Teku. And Rav Yirmiyah vacillated back and forth. I, the Mishnah in Kisui, the Tana of the Mishnah was Mesupak Sfuke Mesafkul. Again, I'll tell you why I'm uncomfortable. And it's a very subjective thing. I'm not saying that I have a really strong reason to be uncomfortable. But what leaves me hanging here is the following issue. The law of Karbanos, which is called Yesh Dichui Eitzel Karbanos, is a definite halacha. It's a Doraisa halacha, and it passes a karma. Which means that if somebody would go ahead and bring this carbon on the Mizbeach, he would be chayav for a violation of a very serious isur. Now I don't know, do I apply this principle of dichui to create a psul in a chefetz shel mitzvah or not? Yesh dichui or ein dichui? Could it be that the Tana himself was in doubt about that? If there's a logical reason to apply yesh dichui once it was revealed in the parsha of Karbanos, we should extend that to mitzvahs, so just do that. If on the other hand you claim that mitzvahs are different, then you can't derive mitzvahs from karbanos. Meaning, what are the rules of the game here? It's either A or B. Either the rule of the game is what's called a binyan av. You know, you see a principle in one context and you assume that the Torah therefore would universalize this and apply it elsewhere. Or B, maybe the rule of the game is that there's a special chiddush in karma. What the Gemara really seems to be saying is that the Tana of the Mishnah didn't know. He didn't know whether this was a law that breaks new ground, yesh dichui, and should apply, as we say in Yiddish, umetum, you know, wherever you look, so let's apply it to mitzvahs. The psul is chal of the mitzvah, and then it's irreversible. That's called dichui. Or maybe not. You know what? Let's say it's a din in karma. It's a separate halacha in karma. It's very odd, you know. I don't understand how, you know, take the ball and run with it. You know, it should be one way or the other. And the Gemara usually applies binyan av. Is there some rule that in Hilchos Karbanos we have no right
to derive conclusions from Hilchus Karbanos. If that be the case, then let's go back to square one. Ain dichui. No, if the Torah hadn't taught me in Karbanos the halach of yesh dichui, I never would have entertained such halach, because the sibas apsul is gone. So let the object, let the kachim go back to its original state of kashrus. Nor vas, there was a new chiddush that the Torah formulated with regard to karbon. So now I ask you a different question. When the Torah is mechadish something in karbonos, am I allowed to assume that that principle is logical and should apply elsewhere? Logical, I mean, in the Torah's frame of reference. Not logical intuitively that you and I would have come up with it on our own, but once the Torah formulates it, it becomes a principle that now logically through Svara, I apply Hekesh and Binyan Av and I apply it elsewhere. I'm left feeling sort of like a pit in my stomach. You know, it's very, very unsettling. You know, the Tana, the Mishnah, didn't know. So he said, you know what? Always be machmir. You know, it's always good to be machmir. Why not? But kach that teira adif, you know. I had one suggestion that maybe it's only a partial solution, not a total solution, but maybe it would take us a little closer. Perhaps when we read the Gemara, and the Gemara says, L'chumra amrinon, those two words, L'chumra amrinon, do not mean what we think they mean. That in a case of a suffix, we should be machmir. That's not what the Tana was doing. L'chumra amrinon means when you deal with an object, and you want to know whether this object is machayev you in a mitzvah, you have dam, and you want to know if you're chayev in kisui, then the premise is that as long as there's dam, and the dam lends itself to kisui, the dam generates a chayev kisui. That's what l'chum ramrinan means. L'kula, here's where the suffix is. L'kula lo amrinan, are we willing to say that when there's a psul in a cheftz shel mitzvah, that psul could be removed? That I don't know. That's where the Tana got stuck. So again, let me just try it one more time. L'chumra amrinan means that when you have an object which engenders a mitzvah, then I just have to analyze that object. Is it there? Are all the conditions met to engender the mitzvah or not? You have the dam. Is it what situation is it? Is it Golui or is it Mechusa? That's your only question. That's called L'chumra amrinan. L'chumra amrinan means that if you have the object which engenders the mitzvah, then you chayav. That's L'chumra amrinan. There was no doubt about that. The doubt comes in when you have a cheftz shel mitzvah which was possible and now became kosher because we removed the sivas hapsul. Is there a new halach of dichui? Here's where the Tana has hesitations. He's inhibited. He doesn't know whether this new halach of dichui reflects all psulim, or it's halacha in kachim. It's halacha in kedusha. If you take a look, for example, Rashi, three lines down in the wide lines, Rashi says, "Uman demachshes sover the ain dichu linyan mitzvah ela linyan kedusha kagon karbanos," meaning that kachim have two dimensions to it. On the one hand, kachim is a universal mitzvah. It's no less of a mitzvah than any other mitzvah. In fact, there are a ton of mitzvahs that apply to this Basar Kodesh. You have four avodos, and you have a mechaper, and then you're going to have to eat, you know, Bailim Kohenim Ochlim, and Bailim Mechaper, many, many different mitzvahs, a whole myriad of mitzvahs that apply to this Basar Kodesh. So in that sense, Kachim is a paradigm of a mitzvah. And if the Torah says Yesh Dichui in Kachim, then we should apply to any mitzvah. On the other hand, it could be that kachim, insofar as it's more than just a mitzvah, Rashi says it has kedusha to it. Maybe that kedusha was undermined in an irreversible way. It was, I hate to use the word desecrated, but enochinami, maybe that's an appropriate word, because let's say, for example, you took the Basar Kodesh and you brought it out of Yerushalayim. So there's a psul of Yotzei, all the different dinim and kachim. So maybe you desecrated its kedusha. Once you desecrated its kedusha, you could even though you remove all the reasons, you cannot regenerate that kedusha once it's lost. That's the nature of kedusha. Has no applying to
it. But mitzvahs, you can regenerate.
That's it. So that's what I think. The suffix here is about one and only one thing. It has nothing to do with dam in kisui. When the Tana, the Mishnah says that if kiso aruach vinizgala aruach, that you have to do kisui adam, that's not a chumrah.
Tislachli Adonin. That doesn't mean that you have to drop the bracha because Safik bracha is lahakil and you're only being mach. L'chumra Amina means when you're dealing with the object and all the conditions have been met and the object is there glaring, you know, staring you in the face and obligating you, then go ahead and do the mitzvah. That chiyuv is set in stone, it's definite, and you make a bracha on it. Where was the Tana vacillating? That's lakula. Lakula meaning, am I willing to go as far as to say that the halacha of dichui is halacha in kedusha, and therefore it applies to baser kodshim, but it has no application to cheftes shel mitzvah because cheftes shel mitzvah has no kedusha to it? Or do I say no? That let's look at it the other way, lachumra, that the halacha of kodshim of yesh dichui is halacha psul. That once there's a mitzvah element here, and the object is no longer royal mitzvah, so it can never become royal mitzvah again. And that we should apply to every mitzvah, because we're looking at kachim as the paradigm of a cheftes shel mitzvah. And that's where the Tana vacillated, but not in the context of kisya. That's what I...
With the parallel with the discussion we had many weeks ago, mitzvah above Avera, and it just ties the carbon. Does it, they had a whole master of Shem, it's all the mitzvahs, is it just Lulav of Dei Mele Carbon?
Right, the Ritva and Daf Tes, who says it's only Ritzu, and Lulav has a bit of Ritzu.
Yeah, but then we sort of extend to all mitzvahs, but not as a derisa. Carbon was like a derisa.
Okay.
And there's one at the Rabbanon level.
Could be. Maybe on a Darabonan level we would look at this differently. You know, there are those who would say that we're dealing with the Darabonan.
Another problem. I don't completely understand the case of carbon in Dicha, but from what I read or saw, the case of carbonas are usually where the psul is something external to the actual carbon itself. Whereas these cases we're talking about again, whether it's a hadas or it's a kisei adam, we're talking about the actual
physical
act. It's actually not a parallel to carbon, so can we really then have been enough?
But if your question is correct, I would say that maybe we should introduce a kalachomer, meaning if the Torah says dichui and kodshim, even when it's external to the object, how much more so we should be very, maybe we should be very more severe in the case of dichui. So Gemara says, Lema kitanoi. Perhaps the issue of dichui b'mitzvos or ein dichui b'mitzvos is a subject of machlokas tanoi, right here in Hadassim. The Mishnah says, with regard to Hadassim, that if it's onav merubos me'olav pasul. Now the Braisa says, avar v'likton. What does avar mean?
Transgressed.
On what? On Yontif, right? So there's another word that's missing here. It should say Avar Vilikton Biyontif. But it's understood because otherwise the first word in the Braisa makes no sense. Okay. So on Yontif he plucks removes the berries, the Anov, correct? Is Rabbi Loza says Pasul V'chachamim Achshirim. So what are they arguing about? We're talking about a case where he, on Yontif itself, he removes the berries. That means entering into Yontif, what was the status of this hadas? It was possible, correct? Again, we're talking about a case of dichui meikara, because if he's only removing the berries on Yontif, then when we entered into Yontif, obviously this hadas was possible. So it never had a moment of kashrus to it. But again, as Rashi said before, hashtel odai, you know, we're not differentiating between dichui meikara and nira v'nidcha. So we could say that Rabbi Loza is applying the principle of dichui b'mitzvos, and Chachamim refused to accept the principle of dichui b'mitzvos, correct? What would be the other way of learning this machlokes? What is the subject of this machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Chacham? If we don't know the sugya of Yesh Dichui or Ein Dichui, don't I answer at once?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm just anticipating what's around the bend. Is Tassim Alo Minasui? Maybe Rabbi Lezer is worried about the fact that once you do the Agad, then it's already an Asiya and it's the Psul. So what are you going to do? You're going to remove the berries? Well, that's Tassiv Alominos, and the Chachom hold that Tassiv Alominos doesn't apply in the case of Lulav, because there's no din of Eged, or even if there is a din of Eged, it's not considered Asiyah. Savrua, the Gemara thought, the kuli amal lulav ein tzarech eged v'im timsov tzarech eged lo yalfina lulav misukah. The din of tasev lomenasi does not apply to lulav because in sukkah the tziv bei tasev, the Torah says sukkah is tasev lachem, and we derive from the pasuk tasev lomenasiya. But in the case of lulav, even if I require eged, it's not a din of asiya. It's a separate halacha of eged, and therefore tasev lomenasi doesn't apply to lulav. And that would be the subject of the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim. But now the Gemara is of the opinion that everybody agrees that there's no halacha, no requirement of tasev lo menasi. The Gemara is going to change its mind in one of the various possibilities, as we'll see. Therefore, if that's not the subject of the machlokas, and the psul according to Rabbi Elazar could not be based on tasev lo menasi because there's no din of asiya by lulav, my labaha kamifugi, then by passive elimination, we're left with only one explanation for Rabbi Elazar, and that is the man the apostle Savra Aminan Yesh Dichui Etzav Mitzvahs. Rabbi Elazar is based on Dichui, because as we entered into Yontif and there were too many berries, the status of this Hadas was possible. And even though now you remove the berries, but once is Dichui, is he can't reverse the Dichui. Man the Machshus Savra Lo Aminan Yesh Dichui Etzav Mitzvahs. And now the Gemara is going to revert back to the premise that it rejected, and that is that the question is tasa velo min ha'osu. Good. So let's read through the Gemara. The Gemara says lo. Dekuli amalo amrinan yesh dichui eitzel mitzvahs. So everybody agrees lekula. I'm not sure why the Gemara is pushing in that direction. The agenda seems to be that lo amrinan yesh dichui. Hacha, what are they arguing about? Why does Rabbi Elazar apostle it? Because the melech lulav misukah is coming from Yomar Sava. What's Rabbi Elazar shita? Yalfinan lulav misukah. And just like in sukkah there's halacha vasiya, so too in lulav there's a din of asiya. And how do we equate the two? Rashi says three lines from the bottom, the binyan av. So we have a principle of binyan av. And what does binyan av mean? When I see a rule, I apply it to some similar case, by analogy. So that's what Rabbi Elazar does. He applies the general rule of binyan av. Ma'ar sava comes to the chachamim, and they say, lo yalfina lulav misukah. Lo yalfina lulav misukah. Rashi doesn't really embellish this, I don't think. But okay, let's just say alpi pshuta shel mikra, what it means is that in sukkah there's halacha vasiya, but nowhere do you find this requirement vasiya with regard to lulav. And therefore tasa lo menasi is suspended with regard to lulav.
And therefore tasa...
You know, it's when the Torah requires an asiya, and the Torah spells it out. You have to build your sukkah, make your sukkah, and then velo min ha'asui, it requires an action to create the sukkah. But if the Torah doesn't say and spell out asiya, for example, lulav, nowhere does it say asiya, make the lulav, the Torah therefore would not require that, it would not disqualify min ha'asui. If it was, you know, if whatever had to happen, happened, you know, without your human intervention, human activity. But let's go back to an important Rashi here. Lulav misukah lo yalfinan. I pointed out this Rashi on Monday, but let's see if we can see it inside. So again, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that everybody agrees. Just one second. Everybody agrees that ein dichui etzel mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara lays down. But what's the machlokas? The machlokas is whether or not yalfinan lulav misukah. So let's see Rashi. Lulav misukah lo yalfinan. This is the shitas chacham. Hilkach mehashta leka lemifsal. In other words, we have to exclude one of the two possible reasons or principles that it could apply to pasul this hadas, and that is tasav lo menasi. That has to be left out. by possible elimination, what other possibility are we left with? Elamishum dichu. And that's going to be Rabbi Lesser. But the Chachamim don't accept dichu. What would dichu mean? Right? What would dichu mean? Again, you're talking about a case where Anovav Merubos Mi'olav. So, what kind of dichu do we have? It's a psul. Right? It's a psul. Again, I would have said something else. I would have said that Anov Merubos Mi'olav is not a psul. It's just not, it's not a hadas. But the Gemara doesn't want to assume so, because the Gemara doesn't want to assume that if I pluck the berries, that I make it into a das. You know, it, obviously it's a min hadas, but it has a psul. We'll call it psul hadar. Right? On Amud Beis here, the Gemara is going to call it minumar. Minumar means it has like spots on it. You know, these anovim are dark, and they create, you know, here you have a green, beautiful hadas, and now you have dark spots on the hadas. So it's lacking in hadar. Oh, so Rashi says, according to Rabbi Lazar, yesh dichui, because again, lo yalfin in sukkah, lulav mi sukkah, the kevan sha'agdo bipsul, and Rashi now pinpoints the critical moment in which this chefza could be a chefza shal mitzvah, but nevertheless it's possible. Rashi says that critical moment is the moment of eged, because at that moment, nikra olav shem lulav shel mitzvah bishas dichui and nidchaliol. So Rashi says, at what point does dichui set in? At the point of it, correct. And then Rashi asks the old question, but once again, it's Dachi Meikara, because the moment of Eged it became a Chef Shal Mitzvah was already possible, so there was never Nira V'nitcha, and again, the low dock. But now I want to ask you one question. Does this Eged make sense according to everybody?
Nope.
Meaning, which Shita would put so much emphasis on Eged?
Rav
Yehuda. So let's assume that at this point Rashi is assuming what? Like Rabbi Yehuda. At least again within the framework of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, I'm just curious here if he points this out. Just give me a minute. He says, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Yalfina Lula. No, this is not what we're up to. I'm sorry. Mande Posil, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, I'm reading Yesh Tichui Eitzel Mitzvahs. So he writes in a footnote here in Mesifta, number Chof Hey, the Hainu Kaman Diomar Lulav Tzarech Agat. Okay. Let's see if we can prove that from the words of Rashi. So far, we've proven it from the conceptual structure of Rashi, that Rashi says it already became a Lulav at the moment of Eged. That would make sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. But I want to see if I can read that into the words of Rashi. Rashi said, "Af gavdol nirav v'nidchehu ela dichui meikar." Okay, so that Rashi is already addressed in the past. Now Rashi asks the following question: "V'hai did nokat plugtayu b'miyaton b'yontif?" In other words, if the eged, let's assume like Rabbi Yehuda now. So the eged took place when? On yontif or an erev yontif?
Erev.
It has to be Erev Yontif, because you can't do Eged on Yontif according to Rabbi Eliezer. In fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need a Kesher Shel Kayama, which you can't tie on Yontif. So it must be that the Eged took place on Erev Yontif, correct? So let's say it was an hour before Yontif he did the Eged, and now he can pluck off the berries. Again, we're holding that Lo Yalfinon Lulav Misukin, and there's no psul of Tasav Lomanasui, so this would be a perfect case of a psul of Dichui. And yet, if you read the language of the Brice, it says Avar Velikton. What does Avar Velikton indicate, as we discussed before? We added, remember, we added two words to the Brisa, Biyantif, right? Because otherwise it's not Avar Velikton. So it must have been on Yantif. In fact, Rashi, Vahai Dinaka Plutai Vimiyatam Biyantif, as Rashi saying that according to Rabbi Lazar, there should be a psul in Miyatan V'erev Yantif, because the Dichui should be chal once there's an Agad, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if, to the extent to which we identify Rav Elazar with Rabbi Yehuda, then the moment of Agad is the critical moment which engenders the Shem Lulav, and at that moment it was possible, as Rashi calls it, Dachui Meikar. So there's no reason really to formulate Rabbi Elazar's psul as a case of Miyatan B'yantif. Okay? So why did Rabbi Elazar mention that it took place on Yantif? He says, Mishum distama basar di agdehu d'habi yantif lo agidle. So I don't really understand what Rashi is saying, stama. Well, because the Agad took place on Erev Yantif, it couldn't have taken place on Yantif, therefore we assume that Miyatan was on Yantif? Well, what am I missing here? I don't know, I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. Rashi is saying, Mistama, the answer to your question, why did he mention that the mute of Beri, the Miyatan, the Likton of Beris took place on Yantif? Because Mistama, that's what happened. Why do I assume Mistama, that's what happened?
Why do you have to teach it at all if it wasn't on Yantif? Of course you can. We already know that you can, before Yantif, you can reduce the berries.
No, but you can't. You can't after the Eged. You can't do it on Erev Yantif.
You have to put it back together.
Why not?
You hold it so...
Because Yesh Tichud.
No, but
the Eged is
only Chalat Neg when Yantif comes in. If we don't hold the Tassel and Nasa, the Masa Eged has no Chashivas. It's the existence of an Eged.
Is that what Rashi... But Daniil, how are you reading that into Rashi? Rashi says, V'hai d'noka pluktai v'miyatam b'yantif. Rashi says, Mishum de Mistama. Stama, I don't know. Again, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I've seen the word Mistama many times in my life, and it always means that, like, that's the common case. Mistama means that, you know, it's more popular to assume so. If you're correct, O'Neill, then Rashi should have said something much more profound. Rashi should have said that Ein Dichui Ela B'yantif Atzmo. I get the impression that Rashi is working with the premise that there could be dichui on Erev Yantif once there's Agad, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar accepts Rabbi Yehuda, and there could be dichui on Erev Yantif.
But what's not going to tassel and not also in that case? If we're not working with the premise that we're not holding tassel.
Right, we're not holding tassel and also.
So that
can't be Rabbi Elazar. So what is Rabbi Elazar holding here? He's holding that Yesh Dichui Etzel Mitzvah. So now Rashi wants to say that principle of Yesh Dichui Etzel Mitzvah should apply even if he was memaided Erev Yantif, because it's already Nidche. You'll tell me, but it's Dochi Meikar. Rashi says right now we're not sensitive to that distinction. And the principle of Dichui should work even in Dochi Meikar. So if at the moment of Agad you had too many berries, there's no way that you could be Makshis. I mean, I shouldn't say there's no way. It could be that you could take apart the Eged and then put it together. Okay, that's good. But that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about the situation as it is, and that... So, again, I'm just asking Taich, how does Rashi wiggle out of this problem and justify that the case of Rabbi Elazar is of Arvalikta, which means the Likud was done on Yantif, by saying that Mistama Basar the Agde, who, and here we have to fill in some words in Rashi, that if it was Basar the Agde, again, I'm going to say something and laugh at me, because I don't mean it seriously myself. Maybe Rashi says that the Agad took place 1 minute or 1 hour before Yantif. There just wasn't enough time to take off the Anavim. But again, Rashi doesn't fear ice. He never finishes up his sentence here. He should have said, the Stoma Basar the Agdehu. When did he take off the Anavim? After the Agad. And that must have taken place on Yantif. I mean, Rashi doesn't add that sentence, but that's the only way I can understand. And how does Rashi know that the Agde took place on Erev Yantif? Dabi Yantif lo Agidle. Which I assume Rashi means, again, the language is a little bit ambiguous, that if you accept the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, then there's no way, no how that you could have done the agad and yontif, because that would be a violation of the Isur yontif.
Maybe over the lotta means over, he made the agad on yontif, and then the malachi, just like your over on meat on yontif.
And it's not a mitzvah bob on
favor. That's not the over. What the agad happened, the over is in the lotta.
Right. And not in the what? Not in
the you're able to the Agud on Yom Tov. That came to your mind, no. We're talking about the Agud was done before Yom Tov. It wasn't over on that. It was over on the Lakhtha.
And why is being over on the Lakhtha like less than severe? So that, no, Rashi doesn't want to make him a Russian that he did the Agud on Yom Tov. He certainly did on Erev Yom Tov. But Likton, he did on Yom Tov. And if the guy is already such a...
I mean,
I'm just getting
to do. I mean,
we
told him that an egg, it has to be
kayem,
it's going to be a
deraisa.
But
lactan,
you can always figure out.
Right.
You can eat it right.
So that's going to be a big deal in the Rishonu, whether lactan is the rabbanon or deraisa, you know.
But
you
eat it right.
Is it nirik in the matakimon, or it's mamish matakimon? Okay, maybe. But again, I find that all, you know, like, gekfesh. I don't know how to read this Rashi. I would love to read Rashi in a way that every word in Rashi flows. In any event, let's go on in Rashi, because I think the next line in Rashi at least will solve one problem, and that is, I want to prove from the language of Rashi that Rashi's assuming that Lulav Tzarech Eged, up until this point, meaning within the framework of Rabbi Elazar, and then he says, Ve'ilo Tzarech Eged, now Rashi says, and what about according to Chachamim Shita? Is Itzrich Leminkat Biyantif? If I hold like the Chachamim, when does the principle of Dichui kick in? Meaning when, at what point can we say that the Hadas is possible? That would only be on Yontif. Why? Because Eged does not engender the Heftah Shel Mitzvah. He says, V'i lo tzarech Eged, then at what point can there be Halacha of Dichui? It's got to be Biyontif. Itzrich leminkat biyantiv. He has no choice. He must willy nilly speak about yantiv. Mishum de ilav de kiddush hayom akati lo chala aleizman mitzvah. So when can I call this a mitzvah of lulav? When can I call it a cheftishal mitzvah? It depends. If I hold like Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda holds lulav tzarech agad, then the agad could take place when erev yantiv. But if I hold like the chachamim who say that lulav ain't tzarech agad, then the only time in which I can talk about a shame lulav or a shame hadas as a chefshel mitzvah is on yontif itself. But the pella of Rashi is that if I hold lulav tzarech eged, all I need is eged. I would have said the following, if not for Rashi, but I don't know how to read this into Rashi, that according to Rav Yehuda, I need two conditions to be met. When is the chalos shame chefshel mitzvah and the din of dichui? When does that kick in? When does it emerge? That's after number one, there was eged, and number two, it was yontif. Rashi says, no, this whole problem of dichui could apply according to Rabbi Yehuda, lulav tzarech eged, even on erev yontif, once the eged was done. Like, for example, I asked you on Gimel Av, can you talk about dichui? The answer is no. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could talk about dichui on Gimel Av if you did what? If you did eged. But we all like the Chachamim reject lulav tzarech eged, therefore eged doesn't have the power to engender the shame lulav, and therefore you can't talk about dichui. For example, if he would be malakate the berries after eged but before yontif, there would be no issue of dichui, not even an issue. Where does the issue apply? Because entering into yontif, this Hadas had too many berries on it, and it was possible. Now we can apply the principle of dichui if we hold yesh dichui b'mitzvahs. According to Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, lulav tzarech eged, then once I do the eged, and Rashi doesn't have to introduce yantiv at this point. Adarav, Rashi says the agdei mistama. When did he agdei? Not on yantiv, because if you all like Rabbi Yehuda, chas v'shalom to do the agad on yantiv itself, like you say, this is the raisa. He must have done an erev yontif, and that at that moment, the shame lulav descends upon the on this eged, and you already applied the principle of dichud. When did he remove the berries? the charet should be irrelevant. He could have removed the berries on Erev Yontif. He could have removed the berries on Yontif. The halach of dichui is in any event is in place. It's fixed in place. Why? Because it was nidchet the moment of eged. There is one last possibility that I want to throw out here in Rashi. But again, I don't know if I can read this into Rashi. That Rashi would hold that according to the Chachamim, it's true that lulav ain tzarech eged, but the halach of dichui would only apply when there is an eged. The Gemara is going to tell us later that Rabbanan also require Eged, albeit not mitzad the mitzvah of Dal Minim, but mitzad what mitzvah? Zekeli v'anveu, right? That's the Gemara three lines above the end of the Amud. Maybe that halach of Zekeli v'anveu means that Eged kicks in even according to the Rabbanan. So for example, when we say that on Yontif there were too many berries and therefore we want to activate the principle of dichui according to the Chachamim on Yontif. We can't do it on Erev Yontif because there is no Chalashem Cheftzah Shalulav on Erev Yontif. But we may need a second condition. Then when do we apply the principle of dichui to this Hadas because there are too many Anovim? That's only if the Hadas was bound together with the other meaning. Even the Chachamim recognize the significance of Eged in order to engender the Kalosheim Mitzvah. If that be the case, then I can understand very well the machlokas in between Lulav Tzarech Eged and Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged in terms of Dichui. If I own Lulav Tzarech Eged, then even Erev Yontif Halach of Dichui should be activated. If I own Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, then I need Yontif, but at the same time I need Eged. So I need two conditions to be met. Eged and Yontif, then and only then do I apply the principle of Dichui. Okay then? We'll stop here. I mean, this is a sugya that you really have to plow through it, you know, with every Rashi. And yeah, I'm not excited about leaving the sugya, but it's up to you. You know, if you're bored with this, I'm always afraid, you know, we come back on a Monday, you know, almost a week later, and then all of a sudden we're back in the same sugya. Rabbi, what happened here? A week later, you're still holding the same.
I came to continue this.
Too early, you mean?
At least for yeah. I don't know if it's a big yeah. money, but at least for
L. Maybe during L too, because of we want to get close to Sukkah. But the question is whether L kicks off a new year, and then maybe we want to start a new Masechta, and then do a new launch, and get new, you know, new people. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I realize that we'll be.